Ladies and gentlemen, it's so good to be with you this morning to give God praise and to pray to God for help. E.M. Bounds said the central significance of prayer is not in the things that happen as results, but in the deepening intimacy and unhurried communion with God at his central throne of control, in order to discover a sense of need, in order to call on God's help to meet that need. Can somebody say amen? You need to pray to God as no doubt one of the most important things that you can do in your Christian life. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we thank you for the centrality of prayer in our family devotions and in our day. For those of us who strive to pray without ceasing, even when we don't feel like it, Lord, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to understand the central place that prayer holds in not only our family devotion, but in our lives, and help us to focus on you when we pray and what you want done. Have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our sins of prayerlessness, and help us to pray without ceasing on this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. I think that we do read this as a whole thing, 10 to 20, as a unit. And I may do that, but trying to keep with the theme of the idea of having a short devotion for those who do not have much time in the morning. Let's do 5 verses today and 5 tomorrow, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Finally, my brethren, this is a vital part. This passage is a vital part of the entire chapter 5 and chapter 6 as it deals with the family. This speaks to spiritual warfare. And if you are serious about serving Christ, the spiritual warfare, as all Christians know, is no joke. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not strong in yourself. We got too many little mighty might Christians thinking they can take on the devil in the world by themselves, and they get knocked down every time. And in the power of his might, it's all about God's strength. For in fact, my life's verse that back in the day when people would come and hear you preach and then they want you to sign their Bibles, I was very uncomfortable with that. But I had an older preacher that just said to go ahead on and sign it. And I said, but I didn't write it, so I don't have the right to sign it. But anyway, the few that I signed, I would always put Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's all about the Lord's power, not yours. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. The devil constantly is throwing tricks and using even Judas's and Sanballat's and Tobias's, and using people inside your own family, inside your own church, inside your community, to try to hinder God's word from going forward. He uses tricks and wiles that he has honed over the years. And so, and right now you may think, okay, I got this day lick. I'm praying with Brother White and praying with the White House Family Devotions. Man, I got it licked. Okay, what can mess up my day today? I assure you, the devil's got some tricks for you. I don't care how sunshiny the day might be. I don't care how sweet things may seem. The devil got some tricks for you. And as I've told my family down through the years, and I've told folks that I have preached to, you better always watch that devil in that corner. I preached a series on that last year. Because he is just sitting there raring and ready to go to mess up your party and to mess up your day and your little wonderful feeling that you got and the little quote that you found somewhere to inspire you. He'll just knock it all down. If it's not the word of God, he'll just knock it down. Knock it down to the ground and step on it and stomp on it and leave you in the corner boo-hooing and crying. Because he does not play, he does not mess around, he does not take a vacation. That devil is ready to pounce as soon as you drop your guard with happiness. So, you better get ready. He's got some tricks for you, he's got some wiles for you. So don't be surprised, don't be taken aback by it now, it's coming. If you're going to try to serve God today, if you're going to pass out some tracts today as you go to lunch, you're going to leave some gospel tracts in the bathroom. You know how some of us Christians do. You're going to try to witness to your co-worker. You're going to do some missionary work. You're going to go and help some folk out down at the pantry. You're going to do some work for God. You're going to go to a prayer meeting. Breakfast prayer meal, prayer breakfast or whatever, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. He's going to try to hinder you. He's got some tricks for you now. Now we got some of my dear charismatic friends who'll say, well, don't give the credit, the devil so much credit, don't glorify the devil. Anybody glorify the devil? I'm just reading the Bible to you and I'm telling you what he's going to do. So you can call it whatever you want to call it. I know what I'm talking about. And your little happy talk is not going to stop him from doing what he does. That's why you're divorced right now, because you're doing all that happy talk. That's why you're separated right now. That's why your family is shot to hell, because while you're doing all that happy talk and talking about I don't claim it and I don't frame it and all of this kind of thing, let me tell you something. The devil don't want to hear that. All he respects is the word of God. Quoted correctly, by the way. See, while he's stomping and stepping and tearing up your family, got you and your husband at odds with one another where you can't even speak, much less pray together. Your teenagers act like they don't even know God. All they know is the it monster. They act like the it monster. They come out of your house. They don't need a Halloween costume. Just look at what they're dressed and how they're dressed, how they do their hair. Listen. Woo! Listen to me. I am far removed, evidently, from this generation, this younger generation of folk. I see young men today and how they do their hair like women and all of this mess, and I call them stringy when I see them. I tell my when we're out and about and witnessing and doing this, that, and the other. We were out and about last night passing out tracts and so forth. I had to tell my boys, now be careful when you do this and that and so forth, and watch who the person is, and so, because if the people are not homosexuals, they act like it, they dress like it, they fix their hair like it. I went to a Bible study some time ago, and the pastor looked straight, but his son came out, and he looked stringy. When I say stringy, got long braids in your hair and so forth. And he was the leader of the youth group. I said, no, I can't put my children in there. Pastor got a little perturbed with me. And I said, no, my family going to sit with me. I can't put my children in your youth group. Your son looks stringy. Yeah, so you're shocked. You're surprised at how your children come out of their room. Like Batman, they change in their little clothes. Superman going into a telephone booth, and they come out, got stuff on that you've never seen before. They get it from the devil and the devil's children. Okay? The devil got some tricks for you. So you need to start praying and stop doing this happy talk, because the devil is piece by piece dismantling your life. Talking about, my husband left me last night for a young thing, but I'm not going to claim it. You better claim it, and you better start praying, because you're getting ready to lose your husband. Amen, somebody. My child stayed out two nights in a row. I didn't know where she was, but I'm not going to claim it while you sip your coffee, and you know you... Worried because you grab your cup like this right here with two hands. I don't claim it. The devil is a lie. You can't even hold that cup without shaking it like this because I'm not going to claim it. And I'm going to do some happy talk. I'm the head and not the tail and all that. You better start praying, and you better put on the whole armor of God and stop doing the happy talk, people. You people who live on Facebook, listening to all the other happy liars, following every demon to hell, trying to get followers by following every demon, lost as a goose in the Kentucky Derby. You need to start praying, my dear friend, and you need to take heed to this passage, because you are being beat up in that ring called life, like that proverbial boxer whose coach in the corner said, "No, he hasn't laid a hand on you. You're the greatest champ. He has not laid a hand on you." He said, "Well, somebody is out there. You need to check that referee, because somebody's beating the hell out of me out here." And that's what's happening to your life if you don't acknowledge and understand that the devil is seeking to not just hinder you, but to destroy you. He wants you dismantled. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to destroy your family and therefore your testimony. He wants you destroyed to the point that you can't even look up to pray, as he has done with many, many happy talk Christians who do not understand and who refuse to believe that they are in spiritual warfare and that this is not a game. Didn't mean to stay there that long, but trying to help you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who you're dealing with, my friend. That's what you're dealing with. Now, either the word of God is true or it is a lie. And I say that respectfully. And I know it to be true. I've seen the devil come out of nowhere to try to hinder God's word from going forward. Ask yourself this question. Why is there tension between you and your wife all the time? Particularly on Saturdays when you're getting ready for church. On Sunday mornings, thousands upon thousands of folks got some stories about Sunday morning. Beautiful Sunday mornings. Beautiful Sundays. You know, there's nothing like Sunday morning, and there's nothing like Sunday afternoon after church. There's no more beautiful day than morning than Sunday morning. But why is it there's always something, some mess going on, something breaking down? Shoes can't be found, socks can't be found. Turning to the wife, fussing at her, looking at the dog funny. Just all kinds of mess going on. Can't seem to be on time. Just all kinds of confusion. There's always one family member that's just acts like the devil on Sunday morning. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, because you're going to need it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Can somebody say amen? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then I'm going to pause it right there, because I've been here long enough. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, I can see you with my mind's eye on your throne. And Lord Jesus on his right hand, I thank you for your grace, and we come before your throne of grace for the family that you have created. The first institution that you've ever created is the family. The family is your idea, and the devil has fought it and has tried to distort it and to destroy it. And some men who are supposed to be the head of household has allowed the devil, the robber, the thief, to come into their homes and to rip their homes apart because they refuse to obey your holy word. They refuse to understand that there is an enemy seeking to destroy the family. Because if he can destroy the family, everything else is shot. And as we have said before, there's no revival in the church unless there's a revival in the family. And so, Holy Father God, help us to understand that we do have an enemy. Even government officials are recognizing now that there's a devil. And he is full of evil, and he's seeking to piece by piece dismantle this country, our churches and our families. So, Holy Father God, place upon us the whole armor of God today. Give us a new, revived view of what we're dealing with, that is not flesh and blood, that our enemy is not our family members, but the devil working behind the scenes, maybe even through our family members, to cause discord in the family and in the church. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would surround us with your protection and help us to always be on the attack using the sword of the Lord, your holy word, and sharing the gospel. And thank you, Lord, for reminding me about the Halloween tracts that need to be ordered today so that they will be ready. And thank you for using my daughter, Daniqua, to remind us even earlier so that we can be ready to do what we do evangelistically on Halloween, rather. And a day that the devil thinks he owns. And for many years, you have led us to witness to folks on Halloween. So, Lord, we pray that many would hear the gospel, read the gospel, and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, please join me in reading our devotional passage from the Holy Bible, Psalm 74, 1 through 3. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? What a question. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Allow me to read that last verse one more time. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. My. Holy Father God, have your holy word, all of it, to find a lodging place in our hearts. And Lord, if the expounding of it is done by the power of your Holy Spirit through your servant, Lord, have that to stick into our hearts as well, but not above the very word of God. And we pray that you would give us that strange feeling of being weighed down by your word as we go through the day, so that we won't be floating and bouncing around with every wind of the devil and doctrine. But we are weighed down because we read your holy word first thing in the morning. And we can go in the direction that you want us to go in throughout the day without being pulled here and there. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me now in praying for all of the estates and all people. We pray for governmental leaders such as the president, based upon the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this means we ought to pray for the president, whether you like him or not, and all of his administration. You ought to pray for police officers. They have authority. Sheriffs, they have authority, whether you like them or not. Whether they're white, black, brown, red, yellow, whatever. You ought to pray for your boss. Wives, you ought to pray for your husband and stop complaining and whining. Children, you ought to pray for your parents. Everybody in authority, pray for them. Pray for your pastor. This month is supposed to be Pastor's Appreciation Month. Pray for your pastor. Stop eating him for dinner and complaining about everything he does, and pray for your pastor, particularly if he is a man of God, a good pastor, who loves the flock and who does his job well. Give him double honor, the Bible says. So today, join us in praying for our governmental leaders, as we did with the previous presidents and administrations. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, provision, blessings, Lord, upon him and his administration, the White House staff. The news is reporting constantly that there's discord and negativity going on. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil from the White House staff and from the administration, and Lord, help them to focus on the important things that we're facing in this country. We pray for the White House staff leaders, and we pray for the leaders of all federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, for they bear and have authority as well, police chiefs and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. And we pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the very center of the world. We also pray for church leadership, that you'll lead, guide, and direct them to lead the church in the right way and to revival. And we pray for lost church leaders who are religious but lost. They have no clue as to what it means to be born again. And we pray that you open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. Revive those of us who are truly saved. We also pray, Holy Father God, for the current events around the world. We pray for comfort, provision, protection, and recovery for those affected by the wildfires in California. Pardon me. Comfort those who have lost loved ones, and provide for those who have been displaced. We continue to pray for the families impacted by the Las Vegas massacre and the four major hurricanes, that you would comfort them as only you can, heal them as only you can, save those who are lost as only you can. We also pray for the media, that we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, and material and physical protection and blessings upon them. We pray for the salvation of those who are lost, the revival of those who are saved, and we pray that they would keep themselves out of the news, not report false news, but tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we pray that government and media will respect one another and their roles. We also pray for the prayer requests that have come in, and we are only praying for a few here, as we have hundreds that, Lord, we pray that you help us to pray for throughout this day. We pray for Shaka. Please help her brother to stop drinking and help her not to be depressed. Please help them to get answers as to why their father was killed. We pray for Dottie, for your divine intervention and protection and supernatural favor and blessings for her family, for clarity and wisdom for her daughters and grandchildren's schooling and jobs. We pray for May. Please save her daughter and her nieces and heal her aunt, mother, and husband. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. We pray for Zachary. We pray for Tom, and we pray for Robert. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. And Lord, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Evangeline, we pray for Penny, and we pray for Bola. And we thank you for these who have responded to the preaching of your holy word, and help these to stand strong in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands, as well as we commit ourselves into your hands. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for this morning is God's Silence, Then What? Part 1 by Oswald Chambers. God's Silence, Then What? John 11:6 says, When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Has God trusted you with his silence? How about it, dear saints? A silence that has great meaning. God's silences are actually his answers. Just think of those days of absolute silence in the home at Bethany. Is there anything comparable to those days in your life? Can God trust you like that? Or are you still asking him for a visible answer all of the time? Can God trust you with his silence, with his quietness about things? God will give you the very blessings you ask if you refuse to go any further without them. But his silence is the sign that he is bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of himself. Remember that God is always breaking and making and molding you into what he wants you to be. And his silence is a part of that. Can somebody say amen? Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? When you cannot hear God, you will find that he has trusted you in the most intimate way possible, with absolute silence, not a silence of despair, but one of pleasure, because he saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation. This is deeper than you wanted to go this morning, isn't it? Some of you are saying, that's all wonderful and dandy, but I need to see something today. God might be trusting you with his silence. If God has given you a silence, then praise him. He is bringing you into the mainstream of his purposes. The actual evidence of the answer in time is simply a matter of God's sovereignty. I know half of you are saying, now, well, I tell you, this is going a little bit deeper than I wanted to go this morning. Now, come on, this is causing me to think, what are you talking about? I need to hear something today. I need to hear God right now. Time is nothing to God. Allow me to repeat that. Time is nothing to God. Time is important to you, but time is nothing to God. For a while you may have said, I asked God to give me bread, but he gave me a stone. Instead, he did not give you a stone, and today you find that he gave you the bread of life. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today. In some areas it's been kind of rough. In some areas, bewildering and shocking. But Lord, we thank you for this big old family, expanded version of the White House Family Devotions. We thank you, Lord, for all of our friends in the hundreds and thousands who have visited with us. Some have come and stayed long enough to get the gist of it and have gone on to start their own family devotion, and which is the main purpose of this family devotion being done this way now for a limited time, to encourage all young couples, all young Christian couples, to start a family altar or a family devotion time, that they will never quit. It will be the source and the spring of all of their success. And Lord, we thank you and we give you the glory, praise, and honor for putting it in my heart almost 40 years ago to have family devotions, or to have devotions, which I carried on into the family. And now it is being used to encourage other people to have family devotions. Probably, no doubt, the most powerful thing on earth. Certainly the best part of my day, and the source of all of my all of the success that you've given to me in life, and all of the wonderful things you've allowed me to do that are beyond me, and anybody will see that you did it. And you must receive all of the glory, the praise, and honor. And so give everybody else that who does the same. And I know that you will. We thank you in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, because you are in this world, "that he gave his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus the Christ, that whosoever," that's you again, "whosoever," means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," believeth in Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved, the Bible says. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, he suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again by the power of God on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in him and pray and ask him to save you. For the Bible says very clearly in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that whosoever, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you want to be saved today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, pray and ask him to save your soul. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I realize that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I have sinned against you. As I look at my life, I see where I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. I can see where I have lied and lived a lie. I have lusted after people and things, and I have stolen things before as well. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, for he paid it all as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.